Hi everyone. I hope you're all keeping well and managing okay during the strange situation that we find ourselves in. Welcome to what's the seventh talk in this series that I'm giving during the lockdown period. I should have said it's John here. I hope you'll find it of some interest and maybe of some use. I've called it Ideal and Actual, Theory and Practice. From time to time, or maybe most of the time, we find ourselves hankering after something other than what is here and now. We hanker after a past that we miss or desire to return to, or a future that we'd like to happen. In both cases, we often construct an imaginary past and future. We rewrite or write a script for ourselves. What might have been or what might yet be. We construct an abstract idea of what we yearn for, turning away, as we do, from the concrete actuality of our here and now existence. Along with this yearning for a different time, we hanker after an answer to the question, as we see it, of how are we to live our lives. Again, we construct an abstract notion to shield us or divert us from the living of our lives in this moment. We imagine a time when we have solved the problem, whatever that is, and can settle into a wholly transformed mode of existence. Maybe we even call this nirvana or enlightenment. The difficulty, in Buddhist terms, with this way of thinking and being is that it conflicts with the endlessly changing flow of experience and the complex interactions with others and the world which constitutes our being alive. The hankering may itself be the problem. To use the overused metaphor of life as a journey, there is no terminus while on the journey, no stopping of the process, no ending or final resolution. The ending can only occur at the end, when the journey is over. There is no answer that can be the answer, no once and for all solution. There is only the journeying, the process of going on, with all its surprises, changing conditions, and circumstances. If we cling to the abstraction of an ending, a resolution, an answer, we cling to a mirage, an unattainable goal. This creates dissatisfaction, tension, conflict, and suffering. We replace being here with wanting to be elsewhere. We replace the actual with the ideal. The searching, the wanting for an ending or a final solution is a search for something that does not exist or that can only come after we cease to exist, after we cease to be the changeful, contingent, creative beings that we are. We often think of wanting and acquiring as being largely about material things, about a new mobile phone or car or house, or the money that might bring these treasures. But this is only one aspect of our desire and consumption. We also want new sensations, aesthetic pleasures, new experiences, different places to visit, new things to think about and imagine. Many of us also want intellectual acquisitions and consumables, theories, ideas, new ways of thinking, analytical tools we hadn't previously tried, philosophies and religious practices we hope might ease our burden or satisfy our longing for an answer. Of course, it could be that these acquisitions and consumables only add to our burden and only intensify our longing, as if we routinely drink salty water to quench our thirst. Chasing after theoretical, abstract solutions often leaves us feeling frustrated, dissatisfied, and despairing of ever finding a way of handling the concrete challenges of life, of living. Somehow, the theory never quite comes to grips with the actuality, and the abstraction always remains abstract. And so, we look for another theory and another, each one offering temporary hope, only to be found wanting and reinforcing our sense of helplessness and inadequacy. Why do these ideas or possible solutions not work for me? Perhaps the next one will be the one that works, the one that solves the problem. From the Buddhist perspective, we might say that experience precedes theory. Actuality precedes abstraction. Theory, as a way of framing, commenting on, or making sense of experiential practice, may be useful and enjoyable. But theory as something to chase after, or as a substitute for, or as a precedent for practice, may be another unhelpful and unnecessary attachment that leads to confusion and yet more dissatisfaction. Erich Fromm, the eminent 20th century psychologist and philosopher, wrote a book entitled To Have and To Be. He argued that these are fundamentally different modes of existing, very different ways of living and relating to each other and to the world. Many Zen teachers would agree with Fromm's view and with his argument that the two modes manifest themselves as two very different forms of self-expression, acquisitive and non-acquisitive, unskillful and skillful, or we might say, unmindful and mindful. In Zen meditation, Zazen, our desire to acquire a solution to the conundrum of life is set aside, let go of, in favour of just being here, just living, with no thought of gaining or acquiring or solving. We sit with, or we are, the puzzle that is life, a koan, and we let it be. This does not mean that we don't work at solving immediate problems that arise from moment to moment. We do. We tackle these one by one as they occur. But in resolving the endless stream of problems that living presents us with, we're not hankering for an unattainable time when all problems are solved. In sitting meditation, we sit just to sit. This is not a catchy phrase to be taken with a pinch of salt. It's a challenge to us to do just that, to sit, to be here, to be. In other words, to let go of that acquisitive wanting and wishing that brings us so much dissatisfaction and abstraction. We shed the skin of our acquisitive self and allow our ever-changing beginner's mind to open and grow. When we sit just to sit, we're not trying to attain some state, to be elsewhere or to be someone else. We're no longer chasing abstractions, ideals and acquisitions, illusory solutions to endlessly changing, ghostly problems. Thomas Merton once said, "Zen seeks not to explain, but to pay attention." In sitting meditation, mindful meditation, we practice purposeless purpose, doing by not doing, neither thinking nor not thinking. Mindful meditation offers an alternative or complement to analysis, theory, and linguistic exploration. Mindful meditation offers, it's important in Zazen or mindful meditation that we don't get tangled up in words, ideas, and rumination. Being mindful is to be awake, to attend, to be here, without commentary, judgment or attachment. When we do Zazen, practice mindful meditation, we set aside everything we have ever learnt and everything we've read or remembered. We put our baggage in left luggage and only collect it later. Or sometimes we forget all about our bags and find we don't need them as we once thought we did. The late Robert Aitken, an influential Zen teacher, used to say, "Zen is not dedicated to clearing up the mystery, but to make the mystery clear." To paraphrase another Zen teacher, Kodo Sawaki, "All Buddhist writings and theory are a footnote to the practice of Zazen, a footnote to the practice of mindful meditation." Okay, even with a couple of glitches, I hope that's reasonably clear. And as I say, I hope you'll find it at least of some interest and maybe useful. So thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves and those around you. And I hope to be with you again sometime in the future. Thank you.